Now, the fifth discipline is the discipline of excellent health habits. Your goal should be to live to be 100 in sound physical health. Today, the average lifespan in America is approaching 80, which means 50% of people will die above that and 50% of people will die below. Since you are smarter than the average, you're more knowledgeable, you're better informed, you're probably going to smash that average and live to be 90, 95, 100 years old. So set 100 as your goal and say to yourself, okay, I want to live to be 100 in great shape. What would I have to do? What kind of shape would I have to be in? What kind of life would I have to live physically in order to get there? So first of all, design your ideal body. If your ideal body was perfect, in other words, weight, fitness, tone, stretch, flexibility, and everything, if your body was perfect, what would it look like? And make a list of all the things. Remember, when you were a child, your body was perfect. And if your body's not perfect now, it just means that maybe you've forgotten to do a few things or you've done a few things you shouldn't have done. So start off with a clear picture of your perfect body and recognize that that is possible for you. One of the great things to do is look in some of the magazines and cut out pictures of people with beautiful bodies and then put your head, cut off your head from a photograph and put it on that person's body. And then put these pictures around your house so you see it everywhere. So your subconscious is constantly seeing that picture of you in beautiful shape, beautiful condition, and your subconscious starts to go to work. Put it on your refrigerator door. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Just carry it around and start thinking of yourself being superbly fit and healthy in every respect. Now, the key to physical health has always been contained in the five-word formula, eat less and exercise more. Eat less and exercise more. Every single person who studies the subject, and now more and more people realize that the key to success is to eat less and exercise more, and to exercise every day. So discipline yourself to exercise daily. The very best time, of course, is in the morning. If you get up in the morning and exercise immediately, even if it's just stretching or going for a walk or riding a life cycle or walking on a treadmill, it doesn't matter what it is, if you get up in the morning and exercise immediately, not only will your body continue to burn calories all day, not only will you be more alert because you'll have highly oxygenated blood flooding your brain first thing in the morning, but you'll develop the discipline of starting on something that you would normally not want to do and getting it done, getting it out of the way. The more times I read about wealthy people, successful people, top business people, it's amazing how many of them get up at 5 o'clock and work out for an hour. It's absolutely astonishing. Over and over again, you see their daily routine is they get up at 5 or 5:30 and they work out for an hour before they start planning and organizing their day. If you can discipline yourself to do that, it'll have an enormous impact on your life. Also, when you exercise first thing in the morning for 30 to 60 minutes, your brain releases endorphins, which, as I said, make you happy. They make you feel exhilarated. They make you feel more creative, more positive. You'll feel more personable. You're more eager to get to work and so on. So morning exercise just starts you off in fantastic mental and physical condition. Now, to get rid of any extra weight that you might have, just eliminate the three white poisons. The three white poisons are anything that has flour in it, white flour, wheat flour, any kind of flour, makes you overweight. It sticks to your gut, to your hips, and to your thighs. Eliminate sugar and any sugar products. Eliminate desserts. Eliminate donuts. Eliminate soft drinks. Don't eat things with sugar in it, and eliminate salt. Don't put any salt on your food. There's plenty of salt in everything you do. I ran into a friend of mine recently who lost 20 pounds. I looked at him. He was just swaying. I mean, his suit jacket was swaying back and forth like a tent on a tent peg in the wind. I said, geez, I said, you've lost a lot of weight. I said, how did you do it? He said, I tried everything. I exercised. He said, I walked. I tried everything. He said, I finally stopped eating anything white. I stopped eating flour, foods, sugar, and salt. He said, dropped 22 pounds in 60 days. Never came back. And I've had people tell me that all over the world. So if you can discipline yourself to only eat fruits, vegetables, and proteins, no pasta, no bread, no rolls, no cakes, no desserts, no Cokes, no Colas, and no salt. If you can just do that, you'll see yourself losing weight from the first day. Some people will lose 3 or 4 pounds in the first week that they stop adding salt to anything. And then, of course, drink lots of water. Drink 8 glasses of water a day, and what that does is it washes all the impurities out of your system. Very simple process. Eat more salads. And here's a real kicker. Eat before 6 p.m. at night. Eat salad, eat light, and eat before 6 p.m. Everything you eat after 6 p.m., you accumulate. Everything you eat before 6 p.m. burns up before you go to bed. Don't eat within 3 hours of going to bed. Just eat a light or medium light at dinner, salad with a little bit of protein, before 6 p.m. or at 6 p.m., and you'll be astonished. The next morning, you'll be thinner. It's absolutely remarkable. Two more things, by the way, with regard to health. First of all, get regular medical and dental checkups. People often don't go to the dentist or the doctor until they need to. I find that it's false economy. Especially if you're over 40, you should have a complete medical every single year. And you should have regular dental checkups at least twice a year. If you're in business of any kind, you should have 4 visits to the orthodontist to clean your teeth every single year so that your teeth are really clean. They found there's a direct relationship between gum health and the health of your whole body. So with regard to self-discipline, just remember the Michael Jordan motto, just do it. If you think it's a good idea, do it. Get on with it. Don't waste time. Don't make excuses. Now, the sixth discipline is the discipline of regular saving and investing. One of the greatest goals that we have in life is to be financially independent. One of the greatest worries we have in life is our bills and our debts. The greatest fear we have in life is poverty or ending up our life with no money. So the very act of starting to provide for yourself financially transforms your thinking about yourself and your life. It makes you a happy person. So set a goal of financial independence. Decide that, by gum, I'm going to become financially independent. And resolve to get out of debt and stay out of debt. I've worked with countless people who have become financially independent, starting from nothing. And one of the things that they had was an aversion to debt. They hated debt. They avoided debt. The only debt they would accept would maybe be debt on a mortgage on the house that they live in. Maybe debt on a car. But even then, they don't like debt. And other than that, they avoid debt like the plague. So to get out of debt and stay out of debt, you have to discipline yourself. I have a good friend who, when we were 16, he got a job at a department store, and the department store offered the employees credit. And so he took out a full credit. He got $2,500 worth of credit, and he bought brand new appliances for his family, for his home, when he was still in high school. He got $2,500 into debt. That was when he was 16. Today, he's 62. He's still in debt. He never got out of debt for the rest of his life. Every time he approached getting out of debt, he'd go out and buy something else. And he's never been able to do anything he wanted to do. He's been stuck and desperate to keep his job all his life because he's never been out of debt. So your job is to get out of debt. Now, here's an interesting point, and I learned this from one of the smartest money managers I ever met. He said, when we're young, we associate money with pleasure. We get our first allowance, and we go, and we spend it on candy. And we think that when we have money, we go and we spend it on candy or things that make us feel good. Now, when we become adults, whenever we think of getting a lot of money, our first thought is spending it on something that makes us happy. If you go to a tourist resort where people are on vacation and having a good time, they're just lined street after street after street of knickknacks and gadgets and junk because people, when they're happy, associate going out and buying stuff. However, what this does is it keeps you broke all your life. So what you do, and this is what he told me, is you rewire yourself. You kind of pull out one wire and re-plug it in, and you say, instead of saying, I like spending money, you say, I like saving money. And you begin to think of how much you enjoy having money in the bank, how much you enjoy saving, how much you enjoy delayed gratification, how much you enjoy the idea of moving toward financial independence. And when you develop the habit of being happy about saving money, you start to find yourself more and more careful with your expenditures. Now, you know the rule for financial independence is to save 10, 15, 20% of your income throughout your life. And as your income grows, keep saving more and more and investing it, putting it away. As Albert Einstein said, compound interest is the most powerful force in the universe. So putting your money away in well-chosen mutual funds, money market funds, index funds, and just letting it grow over time. And don't worry about the stock market going up and down. Average increase in the U.S. stock market for the last 100 years has been 8 to 10% each year, taking good years and bad years into consideration. So your job is to save 10, 15, 20% of your income. Now, for most people, because they're in debt, they just discard that completely. Their mind shuts down. So here's what I say is develop the habit of saving 1% of your income. If you make $2,000 a month, that means you save $20. You go down to the bank and you open up a financial freedom account and you put in $20 from the first paycheck you get that month. And then you discipline yourself to live on the other 99%. Once you're comfortable living on 99%, then you increase it to 2% and 3% and 4%. Within a year, you'll have developed the habit of living on 85 to 90% of your income and automatically saving the balance. You can even have the amount deducted from your paycheck so it disappears and you never see it. Your paycheck goes into the bank, and the amount is automatically deducted into your savings account or into an investment account. Soon, you develop the habit of living on less than you earn. And you change your thinking from, I enjoy spending, to I enjoy saving. A key way to save your money is to delay and to defer major purchase decisions. You'll find that if you think about buying a car, or a washing machine, or a stereo set, or a new computer, if you think about it for 30 days, in many cases you won't do it at all, or if you do it, you'll make a better decision. One of the smartest things of all is to buy things that are used rather than things that are new. Do you know that millionaires never buy new cars? Millionaires never buy new cars. According to the studies by Stanley and Danko in The Millionaire Next Door, is they wait and they buy a car that's 2 years old. It's coming off lease, or that's been driven for 2 years and somebody's trading it in, and it's still under warranty for 3 years. And you can even get extended warranties on many cars where they'll go back and clean it all up and give you another 5 years on a two-year-old car. But what have you done? You say $10,000 or $20,000 on a car, and what do you do with that money? You put it away and let it grow with compound interest. If all you did was buy a used car every 5 to 8 years, drive it until it falls apart, and then buy another one, the money you'd save from buying new cars can make you rich. It can accumulate with compound interest into hundreds of thousands of dollars by the end of your working lifetime. If you're going to invest, the rule is investigate before you invest. My friend Ken Fisher of Fisher Investment says that 2/3 of all investing is avoiding making mistakes. Let me repeat that. 2/3 of all success in investing or business is avoiding making mistakes by making the wrong decisions or by making decisions too quickly. So if you're going to invest in anything, the rule is spend as much time investigating the investment as you spent making the money. You'll find that quick investment decisions are invariably poor investment decisions. Only invest in things that you know and understand. Don't invest in somebody else's idea or scheme or business. Only invest in things that you know. Number one rule is don't lose money. Whatever you do, don't lose money. If there's a possibility of losing a little bit of money and you do it, you're probably going to lose a lot. So be very careful. Once you earn the money, hold on to it. There's a Japanese proverb that says, making money is like digging in the sand with a pin. Losing money is like pouring water on the sand. It's easy to lose money, but it's hard to make it and keep it. And it's the most important discipline of all. Another discipline is to pay cash as often as possible and for as much as possible. Get rid of all your credit cards except for one and only use that one when you have to. The very act of paying cash really hypersensitizes you to how much it's costing and causes you to spend less money. W. Clement Stone once said, "If you cannot save money, the seeds of greatness are not in you." The primary reason why you save your money and accumulate it carefully is because it gives you two things. First of all, it gives you freedom. You know you've got money in the bank. If you don't like your job, you can walk away from it because you've got money in the bank. But the second thing it gives you is opportunity. If an opportunity comes along, you're prepared to take advantage of it. You don't have to say, I'm sorry, I don't have any money, I can't afford it, I'm broke, and people just shake their head in pity and walk away. As an adult, you should always have opportunity money put aside. And when you have it, you feel great about yourself. The difference between a person with a little money and a person with no money is night and day. A person with a little money feels great. A person with no money always feels inferior, anxious, worried, concerned, irritable, short-tempered. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, the seventh discipline is the discipline of hard work. There's nothing that will help you more than for you to develop a reputation as a hard worker. In the studies of self-made millionaires, again, they said, I didn't have better education, better talent, better knowledge, but I was willing to work harder than anyone else. Most self-made millionaires work 60 and 70 hours per week for 5, 10, 15 years before they break through. Most other people are trying to get by on 5 days a week, and then during those 5 days a week, they don't work very hard at all. The interesting thing, Thomas Jefferson once said, do you believe in luck? He was asked. He said, yes. He said, I believe in luck. He said, and the harder I work, the more of it I have. So the harder you work, the luckier you get. The harder you work, the more opportunities you have, the more doors open up to you, the more opportunities you see. So in America, the average work week is 32 hours. As you know, in France, legally, the average work week is 35 hours, but then most people waste about half their time at work. According to Robert Half International, the average person wastes 50% of their time in idle chit-chat with coworkers, coffee breaks, lunches, reading the paper, surfing the internet, doing all kinds of things that don't contribute anything to the work. So here's the rule that will make you successful, happy, and rich, and it's this. Work all the time you work. Work all the time you work. When you go to work, work. When you go to work, put your head down and go to work. Don't waste a single minute. Put your head down and work all day long. If somebody comes up to you and says, "Hi, how are you doing?" You say, "Fine, but right now I've got to get back to work, back to work, back to work." If you got a minute to chat, "Yes, but not now. Let's talk after work. Right now I've got to get my job done." And nobody will ever stop you when you say, "I've got to get back to work. I've got a job. I've got to get out. I've got something I have to get done." They'll go away and they'll ruin someone else's career. Remember, the greatest time wasters in the world of work are other people who take up your time with idle chit-chat and worthless gossip. You've got to avoid the time wasters. In every single company, these people go around and they're like a virus. They go around and they infect everybody they talk to. Stay away from time wasters. Now, here's a way to double your productivity, performance, output, and income. Here's a way to put yourself on the fast track, increase your income, and become one of the most valuable people in your industry. It's very simple. Start 1 hour earlier. And when you start, get to work. If the starting time in your company is 8:30, start at 7:30 or 7. Now you say, where are you going to get the time? Get up a little earlier and get going. Remember, all you do is beat the traffic if you get in there early. And get in there, plan your day, get going, get organized, get started. When other people come in, you are already running. You're already on your way. Work through lunch. There's no law that says you have to go out and kill an hour and a half at lunch. Eat at your desk, eat quickly, eat on the go. Use that time to work. Don't use that time to hang around. There's a thing sweeping America today about having fun at work. No, work is not fun time. Work is not the playpen or the sandbox. Work is not school. Work is work. What you do is you go to work and you work all the time. Don't worry about fun. Have your fun later, knowing that you've done a fantastic job and you've gotten a lot done. And finally, work 1 hour later. Be the last one to leave. Be the person who turns off the lights. Interesting, if you look at an entrepreneurial startup, a business that's being run by somebody who's really driving it forward, you'll find that the business owner is usually the first one there, works through the whole day, usually the last one to leave. Business owner usually works on Saturday and Sunday. At the end of the day, the business owner's got a beautiful home, house on the hill, beautiful cars, beautiful life, vacations, a boat in the yacht basin, and everybody says, "Boy, she is sure lucky." No, they're not lucky. They just worked all the time they worked. If you work 3 extra hours, start earlier, work harder, stay later, you'll add 6 hours of productive work to your day. Every hour of uninterrupted work when nobody's there translates into 3 hours of productivity when there's people around interrupting you. So keep asking at work, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? What is the most valuable use of my time right now? And then do only that. And keep saying, back to work. Back to work. Whenever you get distracted or you start to follow the path of least resistance and major and minor, say, wait a minute, got to get back to work, back to work, back to work.